John chapter number 10, the shepherd and the sheep. Well, if you would get your Bibles and go back to that psalm that Ron read to us, Psalm 97. And I want to draw your attention to two verses this morning as we seek to honor God, we seek to worship Him. That's our reason for being here. In fact, this first reason for doing everything is the glory and the honor of God. Whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you do it for the glory of God. And this is our first reason for meeting this morning, is to worship and magnify our God. The Lord says in John chapter 4, the Father seeks true worshipers, and those who truly worship Him worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what I want to do this morning, and I hope that's what you want to do. I know that's what you want to do, is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we will do that as we begin to understand the majesty and the glory and the wonders of our God, understanding something of His greatness, of His exaltation, of that one who entered into this world and gave His life in order to redeem His people. And as a reward for fully performing the redemptive will of the Father, Christ Jesus has been exalted, and He reigns over all things. He's always reigned as that one who is the Son of God, because He has eternally been with the Father and with the Spirit. And being God Himself, He's always reigned over all, but He came down to this earth. And He did so in order to redeem a people, in order to save us. And this is the one who is rightfully called the Savior of sinners. And He saved sinners by His substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. Justice demanded death for sins. And so our Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And then 40 days later, He ascended back to glory, and God exalted Him. God gave Him universal authority, and He reigns. And we gather to honor that one who reigns over all. We gather, first of all, to honor Him in our own individual hearts. Do you honor God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you exalt Him? Do you admire Him? Do you glory in Him in your innermost being? Oh, that He would fill us with a knowledge of His majesty and His greatness and His glory, so that we would this morning, by faith, see Him as that one who is God over all, blessed forever. He is Himself the everlasting God. He's the God who made you. He's a God who provides for you. He's a God who, if you are converted, if you are saved, He's the one who saved you. He redeemed you. He justified you. And you stand accepted before God in His righteousness. Now, it should be, and I know it is indeed, your desire to honor Him and exalt Him and magnify Him and glorify Him today. That's why we come together, to worship Him. And then we come together that we might be helped, that we might be blessed, that the Lord would speak to us. And I'll tell you this, the greatest blessing that God could give to you this morning, the greatest blessing that God could give to me this morning, is to give us some kind of sense, an understanding, a grasp of the glory of Christ Jesus. We're blessed as we view Him. We're blessed as we look at Him in the Word of God, as we see Him magnified and exalted, as we see Him as that one to whom God gave all power and all authority over all things. He said Himself in John chapter 17 in His high priestly prayer, as Thou hast given Him power over all things, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. That's the Savior I want us to see. And we're blessed as we see Him. We're helped as we view Him. It will do us good as we rejoice in and as we're totally taken up with the Lord of glory. I can think of nothing better for you and nothing better for me than for God to fill us with adoration and confidence in His only begotten Son. It'd be a wonderful thing. Look here in Psalm 97. I draw your attention to the first two verses. It begins this way. The Lord reigneth. Jehovah reigneth. He always has and He always will. He reigns. Therefore let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. And then He talks about that which encircles God, which encompasses God. He says clouds and darkness around about Him. He's mysterious in who He is and the way He conducts all of His business. And then He says this, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. You think about the throne of God, you think about the King. You think about the throne of God, you think about His rule. You think about the throne of God, you think about His kingdom. His kingdom. Well, His throne has a foundation. It has a habitation. The word habitation means a foundation. It stands upon very sure ground. It stands upon the foundation of righteousness and judgment. That is, God's very foundation stands upon the fact that everything He does is right and everything He does is just. God cannot act otherwise than to be right in all that He does. And in everything that He does, His throne stands upon this ground. He does it in judgment or justice. God can never deviate from justice. He can never deviate. He can never go astray from that which is right. Righteousness and justice or judgment, that's the very foundation of the throne of God. Go back and look at the first phrase in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Boy, that's a theme in this portion of the Psalms. Look over at Psalm 93 and verse 1. The psalmist says, the Lord reigneth. Once again, Lord in all capitals. Jehovah reigneth. This is the Son of God. This is God our Savior. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. The reason it cannot be moved is because the Lord who reigns over all things has established it. Look again in Psalm 96 and verse 10. Psalm 96 and verse 10, he says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. The psalmist says, don't be hesitant to say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. Say it out. The word, that word, S-A-Y, That word say means to say it with conviction. Speak it out loudly. Avow this. Speak with authority. Speak with a purpose. The Lord reigns. Even tell that to the heathen. Well, who are the heathen? Well, to the Jews, all the Gentiles were heathen. But as we consider the Word of God in all of it, in the usage of the word heathen, it's those who don't believe God. It's those who don't love the gospel. It's those who don't know who God is. And if there's one thing people don't know about, if there's one thing people are ignorant of, it is the identity of God. It's the glory of God and the greatness of God. And so here's what the psalmist says. Say among the heathen, shout it out. Say it with conviction. Say it with firmness. Don't be timid about it. Don't be shy about it. They don't know who God is. Tell them. Tell them that the Lord reigns. Say it with conviction. Say it with fervor. Say it with meaning. They don't know who God is. This is the Lord's charge against Israel. He said, you thought that I was such an one as yourself. You don't know who I am. You don't know who you're dealing with. And this is the issue today. Here's the problem today. Men and women and boys and girls have no idea of the greatness and the majesty and the glory and the power and the authority of God. They're ignorant of God. It's our business. It is our opportunity. It is our privilege. And it is our responsibility to tell them. Let's say to the heathen, to those who don't know God, to those who have no concept of His greatness, let's say to them with conviction, as people who mean this, people who love this truth, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. Now, to the people of God, this is a joyful thing. We love to hear that the Lord reigns, that He governs all things in creation. After all, He made all things according to His pleasure. He governs, He reigns in divine providence. He's directing all things to the end that He Himself has predestinated. To tell the children of God the Lord reigns in the midst of these heavy trials of life, it helps them. It helps us to reflect upon the fact that our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer governs in every situation. That helps the people of God. We rejoice in that. You tell me He doesn't reign? You tell me there's something He doesn't have control over? Well, that puts me in the midst of gloominess. You tell me Satan has power over God? You tell me that man's will can checkmate God's will? Well, that doesn't do me any good at all. That just puts me in the midst of depression. But to remind me that my Lord reigns over all, at all times, in every situation, in creation and in providence, that He is exercising His sovereign will, that there's nothing in heaven, earth, or hell that He doesn't have absolute authority of. Tell me that, I can rejoice in this God. I can rejoice in this Savior. And if I'm in the hospital, if I've had a problem, if I'm sick, if I have a disease, if I've got a loved one who's dying, if I go to a funeral of a loved one who's passed away, whatever the situation may be, this gives me joy and happiness. The Lord reigneth. That's a wonderful thing. No matter what happens, no matter how much sorrow or pain it may bring you or me, we rejoice in this. Our Savior reigns. He redeemed us with His blood. Before He ever made anything, He committed Himself to be our Savior. He's loved us with an everlasting love. And He governs the world. He has universal authority over all things to bring everything to the end that He Himself has appointed. He reigns. The Lord reigns. The people of God are joyful. But there's a people who don't understand that He reigns. They don't know He reigns. They've listened to too many preachers that tell them to virtually feel sorry for God. That's the kind of listening preachers they've been listening to. That's the message they've been listening to. God's kind of in checkmate unless you let Him do what He wants to do. You need to tell them that's wrong. Our God sits on no precarious throne. His throne has stability. It is established. It's founded. It's founded upon righteousness and judgment. And His throne lasts forever. Nothing can shake God's throne. Nothing can frustrate Him. When God made all things, He made them according to His pleasure. There wasn't anybody there to coerce Him, to force Him, to ask Him to do this, that, or something else. No, nobody existed but God. He reigns in creation, and He reigns in divine providence. He's directing every single thing in the universe to the end that He Himself is predestinated. That's the God of the Bible. He works in every situation amongst all the peoples of the earth, fulfilling His will. He reigns. There's a verse of Scripture. Go over to, hold your place here and go to Isaiah chapter 52. Let me show you what Isaiah says about the servants of God. Isaiah chapter 52, and look at verse 7. He says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, and you who constitute Zion, you who are the people of God, I want to publish this message to you this morning. Thy God reigneth." Does that help you? Does that help you? Thy God reigneth. Therefore, He says in verse 8, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." All of God's preachers see eye to eye on the gospel. There may be some minor issues that they don't see eye to eye on, but they all agree on how God saves sinners. They all agree on God's identity. They all agree on God's greatness and all of God's attributes. They all agree that salvation's of the Lord. They all agree who Christ Jesus is. He's the God-man who successfully redeemed His people. They all agree on the necessity of the work of the Spirit who shows us, who reveals to us, who demonstrates to us in our hearts that Christ Jesus settled the issue 2,000 years ago when He justified us and He made us righteous and He put our sins away. All of God's preachers agree on this. All of God's preachers see eye to eye on this. And we all see eye to eye on this. Thy God reigneth. Thy God. He's your God. That's a wonderful way for the Lord to speak to His people through His preachers. And they say, "Thy God," as we would say, "Your God reigns." Wouldn't it be most encouraging to you who are the children of God if the Holy Spirit now would take these three words and bring them to you individually so that you, in your heart of hearts, hear the Holy Spirit say to you, your God reigns. Your God reigns. I read a story this week, Oliver Cromwell. He sent a general to Denmark. And he had some very stern orders he was going with. Basically, it was surrender or else. And this general was to meet with a very high-ranking individual in Denmark. And as they were en route to get there, this general was trying to sleep, and he laid down with the rest of the men, and he tossed and he turned. And one young man laying beside of him, he couldn't get any rest because the general wouldn't sleep. He said, sir, may I ask you a question? He said, certainly. He said, was God ruling the world before you was ever born? He said, absolutely. He said, let me ask you another question. The general said, okay. He said, will God rule the world when you leave this world? He said, certainly. He said, general, may I ask you one more question? If he ruled the world before you got here, and he's still going to be ruling the world when you're gone, don't you think he's ruling right now? And the general said, thank you. Rolled over and went to sleep. I tell you, this will cure those sleepless nights, those worries, the troubled heart, the anxious spirit, the wearied mind. This is what will steal it all. This is when the Lord speaks peace to us. When he convinces us, we don't just hear it from a man, but we hear it from God himself, and he says, your God reigns. 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 Lord, it breaks my heart and it soothes my heart at the same time that you would have so much love for me, that you care for me so much, that you rule all the universe with my welfare in mind. Isn't that astounding? All of God's watchmen say to Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. He reigns in creation and he reigns in providence. And oh, how we love this truth also. He reigns in grace. He reigns in salvation. It cannot be that God reigns in creation and he reigns in providence and he doesn't reign in salvation. He reigns in the saving of sinners. He has reigned on this as on these other two points, creation and providence, from old eternity. It's God himself who predestinated all things. He ordained all things. You say, I don't believe in predestination. Well, don't you believe the Bible? Don't you believe the Word of God? Don't you bow to the Scriptures? The God of the Bible is a God of predestination. You set out to do things, something significant. Don't you plan ahead? You plan for retirement. You plan for this. You plan for that. Do you mean God Almighty in His infinite wisdom would have no plan? Would have nothing to go by? And you who make your plans, do your plans always come to pass? Well, no, because you don't lack the power to bring them to pass all the time. There are things that interfere, things unforeseen. Is there anything God doesn't foresee? Is there anything that can frustrate God? Is there anything to interrupt what God designs to do? Listen, from the very beginning, He ordained the end and everything in between. There is no such thing as luck or chance or anything like that. There's God. God who rules over all. God who from the beginning ordained all things all the way to the end. Listen, it's all in the mind and purpose of God, finished already, because He doesn't inhabit time as we do. He inhabits eternity. And nothing can change God. Nothing can frustrate God. Not in creation, not in providence, and not in grace. The Lord reigneth. Say to the heathen, the Lord reigneth. You know, in John chapter 6, our Lord Jesus, He's speaking to the heathen. He said, well, they were Jews. But as far as their belief was concerned, they were heathens. They didn't believe Christ Jesus. When He said, I'm the true bread that came down from heaven, they didn't believe Him. But you know what He told them? He told them, My Father reigns in grace. He said, you don't believe Me and you won't come to Me, but all that the Father giveth Me, they shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I'll in no wise cast out. He told them God reigns. Say to the heathen, God reigns. That's what Christ did. We say, well, this is a doctrine that should be preached only to the saved. Only to those who love the Lord. Don't preach sovereignty. Don't preach election. Don't preach predestination to those who don't know the Lord. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world according to His will. You need to tell them who God is. They need to find out. Then they find out He's the Almighty Savior. The Lord reigns. He reigns in grace. He said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. He reigns in salvation. You don't reign over anything. You think you're in charge? You think you have authority? The only authority, the only kind of power you have is that which God gives you. But you don't have the kind of power He's got. He has the power that enables Him to reign. And nobody can stand in His way. Nobody can frustrate Him. Nobody can make Him make a move. And when He moves, nobody can stop Him. That's the God I worship. That's the God who reigns. He reigns in the kingdom of creation. He reigns in the kingdom of providence. And He reigns in the kingdom of grace. Go back over here to our text in the Psalm. In Psalm 97. So He says, after saying in verse 10 of Psalm 96, the Lord reigns. He says here in verse 1 of Psalm 97, the Lord reigneth. He says this again. Turn over to Psalm 99 in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Psalm 99 verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Well, what effect should that have on us? Let the people tremble. I read some of the things that preachers today say. Occasionally I'll listen to them. Nobody's trembling before the God they preach. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. Let the people tremble. Let them shake in their boots. Especially if they're in opposition to this God. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the whole earth be moved. Who do you think you're dealing with here? An equal? He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Who can understand the ways and the thoughts of God? He's too great. He's too glorious. Look back over here at our text. The earth reigneth, Psalm 97, verse 1. The earth reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let God's people scattered throughout the earth rejoice in this. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. You see, because he reigns in all things, he reigns in grace, he can send the gospel wherever he wants to. And he can raise up a preacher to send him forth to preach that gospel to people who would have never heard the name of Jesus Christ aside from the fact that God sent him somebody to preach to him. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. You know, to the Jews, everything was an isle because they were pretty much, they confined to their area, and anything across the sea, of course, it was an island. They didn't know much about the rest of the world. But as the rest of the world, as the gospel went forth to all the nations of the earth, here's the message. Rejoice and be glad that the Lord reigns. He reigns in the isles. He reigns throughout the universe. And he says in the second verse, clouds and darkness around about. And it's got to be that way because we could not stand a view of God in his glory without there being some clouds and darkness. We couldn't stand it. We couldn't live seeing him in the brightness of his glory. When he came to Israel and he dealt with them from Mount Sinai, he came in clouds and darkness. And the clouds and the darkness indicates the mysterious ways that God goes about performing his will. I just said his ways are past finding out. You can't figure out what God's doing. His ways are too dark. They're too cloudy. And the only way you'll know what he's doing is if he reveals it to you from his word. And then he says, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Listen, everything God does, whether in creation or providence or salvation, everything he does is upon this firm foundation, this sure ground of righteousness and judgment. It's right. Whatever God does is right. Because he's the one that does it. He can't do anything wrong. Why, his name is holy and reverend. He's right in all of his ways. And then he says, judgment. Judgment. That is, he does everything according to justice. Listen, when God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, he was upon his throne of righteousness and judgment. He did what was right. It would not have been right to have left them unaffected. After threatening Adam with death, it would not have been right for God to say, well, I'll let you get by this time. No. Because you see, the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and judgment. God's going to do right. and he's going to deal in justice. And there's our fallen parents. They must be put out of the garden. When God saw that every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually, he destroyed the earth by water, saving only 8 souls. That which he did was according to righteousness and judgment. What he did was right. You wouldn't argue with what he did, would you? And you know what he did was just. It was according to judgment. When God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains, that judgment was according to righteousness and judgment. It was God did what's right. God did that which was just. And I go all the way through the Old Testament, but when our Lord Jesus Christ died, God was still upon his throne. And still the foundation of his throne was righteousness and judgment. And there our Lord Jesus, as our substitute, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. By imputation, he became guilty. Guilty of our sins, guilty of our imperfections, guilty of our faults. God is still upon his throne. A throne established, founded upon, grounded upon righteousness and judgment. God turned his back on his son and poured out upon him all of the wrath for all of his people. All the wrath that his people would have had to endure it for all eternity. He poured it out on his son, and he was right when he did it. He was right when he did it. He was a just God when he did it. And when God, upon the basis of the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, declares all for whom he died to be justified, to be righteous, he's righteous when he does that too. And he does that in justice. You see, God's going to deal with all men in justice. Go all the way to the final judgment, the great white throne. When all nations are gathered before our Lord Jesus Christ, and he separates the nations as a shepherd would separate a sheep from his goats. Sheep on the right hand and goats on the left hand. God will still be upon his throne. That's the Son of God seated upon the great white throne. Judgment. And even then, the standard will be righteousness and judgment or justice. Whatever he does is right. And whatever he does, whatever decree he will pass down, whatever sentence that will be executed, will be according to divine justice. And no guilty soul in that day will be spared. And no innocent soul will be punished. Because God can't do wrong. He must do right. And it's all according to judgment. It's all according to justice. And in that day, everybody will get exactly what they deserve. Exactly what they deserve. The wicked, they have no sin offering. They have no mediator. They have no Savior. They have no blood redemption. They have no justification by grace. And they will hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That'll be according to righteousness and judgment. And to another group of people, they will hear the words, "Come ye blessed of my Father from the foundation of the world. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you." That will also be according to righteousness and judgment. because we are going to receive the just rewards earned by our substitute, earned by our Savior, merited by that one who stood for us, who died for us, and whoever lives for us. And this one who gave himself as a propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction of divine justice, he's the one who's seated upon his throne in heaven above. And he reigns. Rejoice. I say to the people of God, thy God reigneth. Go in peace. Go in joy. Go without a worry. Go without a care. All things are in the hands of him who loved you and gave himself for you. Your life, your family, all the things that belong to you, all the things that involve you, it's all in the hands of that one whose hands were nailed to the cross for you. They're all in his hands. The Lord reigneth. Let the people rejoice. Let the people rejoice. And we do, don't we? We do rejoice that he reigns. Well, let's sing a song. Let's go.